Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. Joining Chris Patterson on the show this week is Scotland's elite performance analyst Gavin Vaughan, after he was selected as an analyst for the upcoming British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa.
Okay, we're delighted now to be joined by another one of the Scottish Lions, the lead national team performance analyst for Scottish rugby, Gav Vaughan. Obviously been with us 10th season now, working at Glasgow Warriors in Scotland, and now part of the Lions. So first of all, congratulations on that accolade. We'll dig into it in more detail as we go ahead. But how are you? How are things? And what's the workload like at the moment?
Thanks, Chris. No, everything's good. Just obviously really excited to get going on the tour, and we leave this Sunday, which is coming around pretty fast. The work's ramping up now, ready for the tour. A lot of preparation has gone in, and obviously keeping one eye on the summer tour as well, and that's all been handed over now. So, it's a busy time and looking forward to getting going.
And I suppose where to start? We'll start with you and your journey. You're obviously steeped in rugby history, rugby understanding, grew up in Wales. Did you play?
Yeah, I played for my local club, Tom Maurer, same as our defence coach, Steve Tandy.
Have you got any secrets on him?
I've got plenty. I don't know if this is the right forum for the secrets, but I'll keep them in the locker just in case. But
So played
Tom Maurer, grew up in a small village in Wales, mining village, steeped in rugby history from a small little village. But then I got involved at quite a young age, really, for an analyst when analysis was pretty new in the game. Back in the days of using DVD burners, I just missed the VHS stage.
I played under the VHS days.
Yeah, but the DVD days were in their prime, and you'd spend more time copying DVDs than you would watching the game, which was quite interesting back then. But you got involved there with the Ospreys and a lot of club rugby in Wales, some older kind of famous clubs like Neath, Aberavon, and then went on from there working with some of the women's teams nationally in Wales, and got the opportunity to go to Italy, which was pretty good, coming around pretty fast again. And
that was with Roni, who are now Zebre.
Yeah, that's right. So that was in 2011. Yeah, that was Ironi. That was their last year before it changed over to Zebre and the franchise changed. Great experience, life experience. The rugby was difficult at times, but I learned a lot in that year. And I was fortunate enough to get the job at Glasgow in 2012. So, it's been a great journey, and really enjoyed my time at Glasgow as well. And learning.
Successful time as well, wasn't it? It kind of club grew and stature, obviously winning the Pro 12 as it was then as well, and getting those, you know, over that kind of initial hurdle of winning something in a professional era in Scotland. It was a successful era, but you had a lot of fun there as well, and a lot of hard work, and a good journey almost in the Glasgow Warriors colours.
It was a great journey, and like you said, it was great to have that trophy win in 2015, and I think that gave everyone a bit of confidence, not just the players in Glasgow, but Scottish rugby in general, that we could win trophies and compete with some of these other teams. And Irish teams at the time were very successful nationally, Wales. I think that was a big hurdle, I think, in terms of the development, which we're still seeing some benefits of now. And that was a great time at Glasgow, and yeah, enjoyed my time thoroughly there.
And obviously onto the national team in the last five seasons, is it? Similar progress. But then obviously a call came earlier this month about representing the Lions and going on tour with the Lions. Was that an aim? Like, as an analyst, is it like a player, do you aim? You obviously want to improve and get as high up the ladder as possible, make as big an impact as possible. But do you dare to dream to be part of a Lions tour? Or is it as a player, it's obvious that's where you want to be?
Yeah, no, I think it's exactly the same as a member of staff or coach or whatever it might be. That is the ultimate kind of goal in terms of representing the Lions, and obviously you don't get to wear the jersey, but you're a part of something which is very special and has grown over the years. And I think there's a big aura about it. And whoever you talk to in the game, really, North or Southern Hemisphere. And yeah, to be a part of that is a great honour, and it's going to be something special. And yeah, definitely, I have set goals, and I'm quite big on goal setting, which kind of comes hand in hand with the job. Mm-hmm. In terms of analysis and whatnot, but yeah, it has been a goal of mine for a long time, and I didn't expect it to happen so quickly, to be honest.
Oh, thoroughly deserved, and you'll know a lot of the players obviously from your time in Glasgow and Scotland, the Ospreys as well, and I suppose you guys know the players better than anyone, because you spend your every month of the year looking at them, strengths and weaknesses, whether they're players in your squad or players that we're playing against, so you have a great understanding of them, and it'll be nice to, I suppose, add the personal aspect of that to get to know them as people as well.
No, definitely. I think that's the bit I'm looking forward to quite a lot, is learning from these players as well. Like you said, you watch so much of them over the years, and you feel like you know them, but you never actually spoke to some of them, especially some of the opposition guys. So, yeah, building those relationships and hopefully adding some value to them as well, and helping them kick on and perform well in the shirt will be good. But yeah, I think a lot of people speak about those kind of personal relationships from Alliance tours, and that's something I'm looking forward to building for sure.
Nice. I suppose we can look at the role of analysis, but it's so wide, it's so varied. I mean, and we quite literally could talk for hours and how much detail and accuracy, but I mean, give us a whistle-stop tour, if possible, about the role of analysts and analysis in rugby in the next month. Say, what are you going to be asked to do with Warren Gatland and the players and Gregor and Steve and all the other coaches? What as a kind of layman's view, what would be the headline things you'd be asked to contribute and be part of that vital part of that cog in the big wheel?
Yeah, I'll try and do this as quickly as I can.
This could take a while.
We've got a time limit, but it's
everything,
growing,
isn't it? It's absolutely,
yeah. It's growing all the time, and which is great. And a bit of a reflection really on how important analysis has become in the kind of preparation, is that there's four analysts going on this tour. There's more analysts than there's ever been. You're seeing more and more analysts at clubs over the last couple of years. The departments are growing. So that's really a testament to say how valued analysis is as a part of your kind of preparation week to week from a player or a coach. But yeah, a couple of my tasks are going to be, you work very closely with the coaches. You sit in on a lot of the coaches' meetings in terms of planning, preparation, around training, first of all. So we've obviously got a training camp coming up in Jersey before we play Japan at BT Murrayfield. So a lot of that will be about delivering philosophy, game plan, implementing structures into place. And some of my work in that will be, I've obviously been doing a lot of visual prep in terms of putting video together, building presentations for the coaches, sometimes making bizarre movies, trying to get the delivery method across and make the message stick a little bit better.
In terms of motivational stuff as well. And
motivational stuff. And you know, I think you've got to adapt now in terms of everyone's a bit different and learns a bit differently. Like, I saw that emojis is actually a language, so we've used emojis and GIFs to get messages across, and it makes sense because that's what people use to communicate. So why not? Exactly. So you've got to be a bit creative as well. So that'll be a big part of my kind of job over the next couple of weeks. And then as we get close to games, it's going into the fine detail of looking at opposition, building pictures, building data sets to back it up. It's not just you relying on data or video. It's amalgamating the both and translating that into a way, really, of how that can be interpreted into ultimately trying to get the win, which is what we're all there for. That takes up quite a lot of time because you're literally going through every single game with a fine-tooth comb.
And you'll have to do that for individuals within the game, units within the game, whether it's forwards or backs or back three or second rows, or and team structure on top of that. So yeah, you're almost looking at three things at once.
100%. And we do a lot of detail on each individual as well. So we know opposition players inside out, which is handy for when you get named in the team, sometimes players might come and ask some traits of that player and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a pretty thorough process, and a lot of man hours go into it. And like I said, we're lucky we've got a big team in South Africa. But there's a lot of detail that goes in, and it's all about getting, like you said, there's that one, could be one little nugget or one little chink in the armor that you've seen or spotted, or there's an opportunity there that can help you, put you in a good position really to win the game, which is what we're looking for. And then going on then to post match and in game, we're just another pair of eyes really in game for the coaches.
You capture data live, so tackles made, tackles missed, rucks hit, ball carries, kicks.
Yeah, and some team-specific stuff as well, things like around your general stuff that you would see on TV, and a few little extras which are tailor-made to our kind of game plan or philosophy. But that data is captured live through video and some just data capture.
And but we're also the coaches live, so in the coaches box, you could be.
So in the coaches box, we've got a monitor with live stats output and live video, so we're relaying, reinforcing those messages, things we've prepared, things we may have not prepared. Like, for example, if somebody changes a restart setup or defend a bit differently off a line out how they've done previously, we're instantly recognizing that, feeding that back in. And then the coaches are acting upon it as and when they can in the game, and delivering those messages to the players. So it's pretty 100 mile an hour in a game.
You must get a buzz for that as well, though, is it? Or are you just so engrossed in fine detail? Or can you allow yourself to get caught up in the moment a wee bit?
I don't get caught, try not to get caught up in the emotion. And sometimes it's a try has happened and you're 10 seconds behind or looking at the last sequence of the line out or something. So, yeah, obviously it is. You're living and breathing the game with the coaches. Mm-hmm. But it's about being focused really and just staying on task and providing that service to them, which is your job. And then after the game then is when our work starts, when everyone's either at the bar or in bed. We'll work through the night predominantly, trying to turn around reports and video and data, and every individual is broken down, so every little thing you can think of is measured and accessible to the players and coaches in terms of their game. So if I wanted to look at how many left-hand passes Chris Patterson had within two clicks, I could isolate that specific area of the game.
The players crave that though, don't they? I mean, it's almost become a trend or natural that they need that immediately as they wake up. They've probably not slept through the night worrying about what went right or celebrating what went wrong or celebrating what went right, but then almost immediately they wake up whenever it is, or when they get to bed, go to breakfast, morning after test, they need that data, that confirmation, because the review starts for the next game week or the preview for the next game week. So it's not there by magic. It's you guys who've created it.
Yeah. And like you said, I think there's been a shift over the years in that with the modern player and relying on it more, and it's not the be all and end all in terms of just the numbers, but they're always looking at how they can continually improve and things they've done well as well. It's important to focus on those. It's not just about what they didn't do well. So that's a great thing. This game utilized by the players and they rely on it as well, which is ultimately to make them better rugby players. That's what we're there to do. And it's not to catch anyone out or anything like that. Like previously, everyone be worried about the stat sheet going up and how many tackles you missed and having the coach breathing you down the neck. Those days are slowly changing for like nearly everyone now, and there's a different view to analysis in terms of how it can help you as an individual as well.
Even on that, I mean, I was one of those players, first thing you go is on, you usually knew roughly if you'd missed a tackle, but the missed tackle column everybody would go to right away. But then it grew over time that the missed tackle column became about four columns, because there was a system miss, there was an offload miss, there was a technical miss, there was an assist miss.
We've kind of reined stuff back a little bit on that now, and I think because it's still relatively new in the game, like everyone was guilty of, because you can measure everything possible, but it's about what's relevant to your game plan and what's relevant to improving you as an individual. So there's some stuff that we won't show the players, and there's some stuff that the coaches don't even get to see, but it's there if they need to see it. So it's about being that filter as well, and you know, passing the relevant information on them without basically clouding the water, and just being given clarity, really, I suppose, is the right word I'm looking for.
I suppose the other thing is, we've already, and that is a whistle-stop tour of what it entails, or so much more, but all that process is done for every training session as well. It's not just the games, is it? I mean, you film every training session, you review every training session, and that's sometimes twice a day.
Yeah, we're going to have two sessions, so you've got a unit session in the morning, team session in the afternoon, they're detailed reviewed. You've got six different camera angles of training because of different splits, different vantage points, drones, and there's some data coming in from training as well. So yes, it's pretty full on, and it's going to be quite interesting when you've got three games in 6 days and or 7 days on Lions trips. So it's going to come thick and fast.
It's busy. No, and as you say, it's all that data that a lot of it you won't use, but it's there and you need it. And it's just a trust that the coaches have in you guys for collating all that. It's such an important role, and the players as well, and you're really close to the players. But I suppose if we're looking at analysis, I suppose the most people would view it as something that's happened, like a post-event. But in order to get ahead of trends in the game or be revolutionary or innovative, you sometimes have to look beyond that or ahead of the game and try and predict what's going to happen, where the game's going to go, how you're going to become successful. I assume that's a big part of your role as well, rather than just the review stuff. It's a forward thinking.
Definitely, and particularly out with camp windows, and that's the luxury of being an international analyst, is that you do get a bit more time in between your blocks, which are more intense to do that research. And like you said, some of it's looking at different hemispheres of games, different competitions with different law variations. Even looking back in time, I was looking at games from 1997 in the Six Nations at a certain play because we thought it could work against a certain type of defence, which happened then. And I think rugby evolves over time, but it also has a point where it revisits back in time as well. Yep. And you'll know that, Chris, from your experience. And you know, you were obviously involved with Scotland and at the top of the game for a long time, and it does come in cycles. And I think it's about trying to get those little 1%ers that you can get ahead of the game, because if you stay stale or stagnant, you'll get rapidly overtaken. And we're quite lucky that we've got an innovative coaching group who do challenge you on that, which is great for me, because I enjoy that part of thinking outside the box and having a look at how we can evolve and stay ahead of the curve.
It's quite funny you say that, because it does. It's cyclical and things come round, and obviously new bits get added, but it's quite funny how the same names stick with the same move as well. I think every back row's got a Pat Lam move. That
yeah.
25 everyone's years since Pat played, but the moves his are a Lomu.
A Lomu, yeah. Everyone's got a Lomu.
I know.
And it's quite funny, the rugby language, that especially now, obviously you're working with players from other countries, and the same calls, and some of them mean different things and stuff like that. But it is funny that it's become like a common language in rugby of certain aspects of the game, and everyone, like you said, everyone's got a Lomu or something in their playbook.
That's when you know you've made it, when you've got a move named after them. So what do you think will happen? I suppose it's pretty open, this question, but where do you see the game being in maybe 10 or 20 years' time? Is it going to be driven by statistics and analysis more so, like almost like an NFL? Because you look at how they're different, because there's so many small parts that stop and start in the game.
Yeah.
Or is it more going to be driven by laws and player welfare, which is essential as well? Or is it going to go back to a bit more freedom, a bit carefree, a bit almost trial and error type? What do you think? I think it's impossible to answer, but
it's a tough one. I think that I don't think we'll ever go fully data driven, because our game, there's got to be so much context with data, and there's so many variables in our game in terms of obviously it's a 180 degree collision sport. You've got the weather, you've got the referees, like you said, the law interpretations have got a big influence in terms of how they're played, and they're refereed differently by, not even by continent now, by nation. You know what a French referee does to an English referee, and the difference in what you need to do when you're playing, when those are involved. So the data thing, I think there is a tough one to solely rely, but I definitely think the whole player welfare element is a big part of the game. And as we're seeing with a lot of the kind of head injuries and stuff over the last couple of years, that's something that is changing, and I think will continue to be a priority for the game. So a lot of law driven activity, really, I think will shape the game over the next couple of years. And like we said earlier, there'll be cycles that at the moment defense is on top, but I think attack will come back on top shortly. And
good.
It transitions a lot. Like you looked a couple of years ago, and it was always kind of counter-attack, turnover attack, line-outs, scrums for tries scored, whereas now it's line-out is clearly the top.
Yeah.
And then you've got kind of like turnover, then counter-attack. So it's always a cycle. And I think that these things do change, and there's big focuses in one area where you've only got the same amount of time in the week. So it's how you balance your training week is a big thing as well. And yeah, these shifts are kind of natural in the game, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a thing. And ultimately, it's a sport. It's not a science. You know, it's
like
an element of risk. There's a chance, as you say, there's referee, there's pressure, there's interpretation. And that's what we love about it. You know, as players, as management, as analysts, as fans, you love the element of chance. It's why you go. And why, for me, it always gives you an opportunity. Even if you're playing the best team in the world, you can always do it. You can always win.
There's so much space in a rugby field, and there's only 15 players you're up against, and it's about how you find that space. And sometimes it becomes a game of chess, but it is that's a great thing about our sport. And hopefully I haven't just put myself out of a career there by saying the analysis is not going to be the be all and end all, but
it'll always be there. Vitally important. I suppose just I know you've got a meeting shortly, so we don't want to keep you too long, but looking ahead a wee bit as well to the summer test, you're obviously with the Lions, but you're still closely, heavily involved with Scotland, and will be once the Lions test is over. So will you keep a close eye, or as close an eye as possible on the summer test and the players involved?
Yeah, no, we'll be watching those when we can, and if it fits in around our kind of schedule and whatnot. But if not, we'll definitely be having access to them afterwards. But yeah, we've had a big input and preparation to that. I'm lucky I've got two good analysts going to head up on that. Marty Hasty, who's very experienced, who's previously worked with Scotland and Montpellier, and Greg Wallard's going, who's been at Glasgow for the last 8 or 9 years, and who's very experienced as well. So the analysis side will be in good hands, which is a relief for me. But yeah, it's exciting, actually, the squad that we've named, and there's a good mix in there of experience and youth, and I think some of the young guys have really put their hand up this year and deserve that selection anyway, regardless of guys being away or not on Lions tours, and regardless of who we're playing. So it's exciting to watch, and looking forward to seeing them that first game against England A down in Leicester, and then out to Romania and Georgia. So that should be a good tour.
Because the England A, Scotland A games, the day after the Lions,
that's
Japan,
right,
beat Murrayfield. So do you travel immediately after that game, actually, the Japan
game?
Yeah,
so we travel on the Sunday. I think hopefully it's early evening. So we'll be on the bus or somewhere and in the airport watching it. But that's great. I think it's good to have the A team back, and I enjoyed watching those A-team fixtures a few years ago, and how many of those guys have gone on to be Scotland starters now in the next, like, 5 years later and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll give those guys a little taste of what's to come and kick them on. And I'm sure, as always, England will have a very strong team out because they've got so many quality players to choose from. So it should be a good test match.
Yeah, you mentioned the young players stepping up this season. Totally agree. Saw that again at the weekend. Just I think you saw both games, didn't you? Glasgow came out on top against Leinster. Now that was a, we'll get you, since you're here, we'll get your views on it as a real battle, a real physical battle, a real edge. It reminded me of some of the kind of the Glasgow teams of, let's call it your era, when you were there, where it was a real, there was a real battle. There was no way you're going to take a backward step. The moments of quality in the match, but probably wasn't the highest quality overall. But it's impressive to see these young players, you know, stepping up in that environment. When after the Benetton game, Glasgow, you know, were, oh, it was a poor game. It was probably as poor as I've had for a few seasons. But the response to that with the young players at the fore, that's been, it's been really quite impressive.
Oh, definitely. That game on the weekend was like a test match, but had a lot of niggle in there. Like you said, it reminded me of a few Glasgow Munster games from when I was around in Glasgow. But no, it was great to see. And any win over Leinster is a good result. They're a top team, as they've proven over the last couple of years, and to do it with a few boys injured and a lot of young guys playing is great for us and as a nation, and exciting for the future, really. That, and it'll give those guys a bit of confidence that they've mixed it with one of the top teams in the club game, and they can really build up the back of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was it's a good way for Glasgow to finish, as say, after that Benetton, with the four wins in a row, really finding their attitude. Some of the tries scored, some of the tackles excellent, real discipline in the defence, probably managed to control their emotion a bit better over the last three or four games. So I suppose it's a line in the sand where Glasgow start from when next season comes around. And you saw the Edinburgh game as well.
that was a crazy game to watch in terms
31-34 ended up in just...
Yeah. That was certainly an entertaining game in terms of the scoreboard, and there was lots of interest in things going on in that game, and they lost it at the death with Madigan again. It's become a bit of the curse.
Yeah,
last right-hand touchline. Mm-hmm. Kick to win it, but I thought they did really well to come back into the game after the start. They were just unlucky at the end then, really, obviously, to give that penalty away and Ulster to win again. But again, there were some great young guys on display there, and young players who are going to be involved in our 20s, like Ben Mancaster, and you know, they're playing Ulster, a top quality team, and I was lucky enough to work with Dan McFarland, who's a very good coach, so they're well coached. And yeah, the experience these young guys are getting at the moment playing against these teams is going to be really good for them longer term. So, it's great to see.
Yeah, it was a funny game, wasn't it? I mean, it started so well and then fell behind, I think, 31 unanswered points, I think. And then to lose at the final hurdle. But there's enough there for as you say, from the young players, for the Edinburgh coaches to really get their hands on and mould for the seasons ahead. It's been a long season in terms of duration, in terms of games, in terms of processes and protocols and changes. So I think what is important is for both Edinburgh and Glasgow to take stock of where they are. The players will have some time off now, and obviously the international players will be away, Lions players will be away, but it's important to look ahead to next year. So the only other rugby at the weekend was the women's sevens. They were out playing in the Rugby Europe competition, ended up fifth, played four games in the first day, 1-2, lost two, and then 1-1, lost one. That's a big demanding schedule, playing four games in the opening day. Probably took a bit out of them physically, but finishing fifth. And you said you used to work with the women's set up in Wales, and you can see real progression in our ranks now up in Scotland.
Oh, definitely. I think the development's been great, and the programme has improved over time. And we've got a really good analyst in there, Gillian Wilson, who's been with that team for a good while now. And she's delivering some really good stuff for them. And she's an important cog in their wheel, in their kind of development, working with Brian Easton and the other coaches. But the sevens environment will be tough. Considering it's the first kind of exposure our women have had this year of sevens, really, from a tournament perspective, and going out to Portugal with, I'm sure it'll be a little bit hotter than Scotland as well. And like you said, there's demands of four games in that short period of time is very tough. But it's great to see the progression that they're making, and hopefully they can continue to kick on.
That's all from us this week on the Official Scottish Rugby Podcast, but as always, we'll be back next week with more exclusive content.